Welcome to Mountain State Baptist Church Seeker Sunday School class. Have you been reading the Bible every day? Praying every day? Hopefully one day we'll have a Bible reader's banquet. What book are we in?
Revelation.
What verse gives us our outline? Let me ask you this. What was chapter 1 about? Never mind.
Just forget it.
Groundhog, would you pray for us, please?
Yes.
Amen. State Baptist Church, Seeker Sunday School class. What book are we in?
Revelation
is correct. What time period was chapter 1 about? The past is correct. And by the way, the book of Revelation is in chronological order. We're getting ready to go into chapters 2 and 3, and guess what time period that's going to be? The present is correct. We're going into present tense. Brother Zach, would you pray for us again, please? Now, on your handout, your first map would look like this. We're going to do something brand new today. I just about failed geography. But we're going to try a geography lesson. And what it says on it, so you got the seven churches in Revelation. You got the Mediterranean Sea. You got the Isle of Patmos, where John got the book of Revelation dictated to him. And then you see your seven churches. Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea. They're on this area on the board. The pointers are pointing to this area on the board right now as we speak. So you can see where that would be. Any questions on where the seven churches were? They were real, literal, physical churches and towns. Any questions on that? I hope I didn't put some clowns in charge of the pointers. Oh. I need what? Okay. Okay, any questions? It should be right. Yeah, right there. In this area right here is where your seven churches. Top of the Mediterranean over to the right. North, top right, northeast, right above the Mediterranean. Okay, we got through it. Now, your next map's got a red line on it, picture of Israel, but down at the bottom, we're not looking at Israel. Down at the bottom, we're wanting to look at Egypt and Sinai. I underlined it in red on your map, and I drew the border of Egypt in red ink on your handout. Now, it would be real easy to glance at the map and see that other body of water over to the left. Yeah, this one's got it right. That is not the border of Egypt right there where that green pointer is. It's over to the right. That's the real border. Do you see that? That's the Sinai Peninsula, and it's inside Egypt. That's the Sinai Desert, Mount Sinai. Any questions on that? Okay, you've done learned two things. You know where the seven churches were. You know where the right-hand border of Egypt is. Okay. We'll move on. Now, let me say this. There's no such thing as look it up in the Greek. The enemies, the author of confusion, made sure that there's at least two Greeks. I want to talk about this family of Greek, the false family. I don't know how these manuscripts got down into Egypt. Maybe the Ethiopian eunuch carried one back with him. I don't know. Maybe others like that. But they did get down there. And there's only two Bibles, though. There's only two. Now, me and you could write one this week, you know, I know that. But basically, there's two. And one, let's look where Alexandria is, first of all. One family of manuscripts is called the Alexandrian family because they found a lot of them in that area in Egypt. And let's talk about Egypt for a minute. The first time it's mentioned is in Genesis chapter 12, and Abraham is about to lose his wife, maybe. Genesis 12:12 says, "Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, they shall say, 'This is his wife,' and they shall kill me, but they will save thee alive." So the first time we find Egypt, there's murder and adultery and stealing going on. Now, God does a miracle, though, and prevents all that. The next time is in Genesis 20, verse 11, and Abraham says, "The fear of God is not in this place." I'm talking about Egypt. We're getting a Bible picture of Egypt and what God thinks about Egypt.
Right.
Abraham says, "The fear of God's not here." And then down in Exodus 11, we get a further description of the Egyptians. 1:11, I'm sorry. "And the taskmasters afflicted them and increased their burdens," in verse 11. Verse 12, "They were more afflicted." Verse 13, "They were made to serve with rigor." Verse 14, "They made their lives bitter with hard bondage." This is Egypt. I know you know this, but I'm just refreshing our memory about Egypt. Now also, don't forget, Egypt is a picture of the world. To us, it's talking about the world. And the world is a hard taskmaster and will make a slave out of you and me if we let them.
Yeah, amen.
Egypt had no equal rights, no civil rights, no human rights. And the world doesn't care about your rights.
That is right.
Exodus 1:15, the king of Egypt said, when you do the office to a midwife, to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. The world kills babies.
Yes.
Egypt killed little babies.
Yes. Amen.
I've been thinking about Jensen here and little Titus and some of these babies around here. The world killed them. You males might not be here if you lived in that time period. The world kills babies.
Yes.
Exodus 20 verse 2 says, I'm the Lord thy God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. God called Egypt the house of bondage. The world is a house of bondage. They'll put you in bondage if you let them. If you let them. Deuteronomy 4:20 said, God called it an iron furnace, even Egypt. Hard bondage. Cruel taskmaster is what we're talking about. We're talking about the world. Deuteronomy 17, God warns His people, Israel, don't even trade horses with them. See, I should have been told that a long time ago. I've traded some horses with some Egyptians. I shouldn't have been doing business with them. I shouldn't have been. And then he tells them, they don't come out, and he says, don't go back. He said, don't go down to Egypt. Don't go to the world. That's what the Lord's telling us.
Yeah, amen.
Brother Rick, don't go to the world. God has nothing good to say about Egypt. And I need to stay out of it.
Yeah. Amen. This is true.
Okay, Alexandria. Let's point to Alexandria there. Now, when Alexandria is first mentioned, Acts 6:9, it's only mentioned four times in the Bible. The first time in Acts 6:9, and then there arose certain... Now, this is a town in Egypt, getting more concentrated here. This is Alexandria is the name that the family of manuscripts is named after. 6:9. And then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the Synagogue of the Libertines. Now I looked that up, and a libertine is devoid of most moral principles. The way I looked at it, it comes from the word liberal. Liberal is the root word. And the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians, and of them of Sicily and Asia, disputing with Stephen. Now, the first time you find the Alexandrians, they're disputing, they're arguing with the preacher.
Right.
And then verse 10, and they were not able to resist. We might not be able to put the scripture, the Bibles up here today, but I'm in Acts 6:10. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit which spake, by which he spake. Here, the Alexandrians are trying to resist. We have a command somewhere not to resist the Holy Spirit. That's what they're trying to do. Verse 11. Let's see. Verse 12, they stirred up the people. I'm talking about Alexandrians. I'm talking about Egyptians. They like to argue. Verse 13, they set up false witnesses. Talking about Alexandrians. I'm talking about Egyptians. Then chapter 7, verse 54. It says, I'm still in Acts. When they heard these things, they were cut in their heart, and they gnashed upon them with their teeth. The Alexandrians jump on the apostles, Stephen, and prophet, I'll call him, a teacher, and gnash on him with their teeth. And then starting in verse 58, the Alexandrians, the Egyptians, they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. That's what Stephen says. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not their sin to this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. They ended up killing him. Talking about Egyptians, talking about Alexandrians. That's what I'm talking about. Then these religionists also have their own confused Bible teacher. who later on gets saved, Acts 18. Acts 18, verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. I'm just saying, some of these Alexandrians, some of these Egyptians, they may have on a tie, they may be a televangelist, they may be eloquent in their speech. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, they might be fervent. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Remember we talked about the ignorant brother? Ignorant means they don't know. Well, this guy, he knows half.
Right.
A little knowledge is a dangerous thing.
Yes.
And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, and whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now, that's exactly what I should do.
Yes.
It's exactly what I should do. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. And he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. And it came to pass that while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. See, you need, the Bible says repentance and faith. They believed on Jesus. They've repented and had faith.
Right.
Repentance and faith.
Right.
He only had half of them. They only had half up to here. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. We're talking about Alexandria. Alexandria. The next time it mentions Acts 27:6. There was a common ship. I'm sorry. There was the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing to Italy, and he put us on it. A ship from Alexandria was carrying Paul to prison. I'm just saying. The ship wrecked for 3 months. It was on an island. And another ship from Alexandria comes along. This is the fourth time Alexandria is mentioned. And this time it's carrying Paul to his death. After 3 months we departed in the ship of Alexandria which had wintered in the isle whose sign was Castor and Pollux. Now Alexandria, Egypt also had a school of the Scriptures, and I got a small S on my paper here. They had a school. They had a Bible school based on philosophy and allegories like Athens had. It was founded by Pantaenus. When he died, it was succeeded by Clement of Alexandria. And later, when he died, Origen, who was famous for changing, twisting, and correcting the Scriptures. Specifically, Origen was responsible for omitting Acts 8:37. Let's look at that. There's many, but I'm just going to give you a couple of these. Today, Acts 8:37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now that verse is omitted in the NIV. But the reason it's omitted in the corrupt Greek that the NIV was translated out of.
Right. Yeah.
That I'm talking about, the Alexandrian Greek.
Yeah.
That got corrupted way before the NIV. Let me ask you this. If I omit verse 37, which by the way, if you look at it in that NIV, it goes verse 36 and verse 38. There's no 37.
Right.
We've done that before. Let me ask you, if I leave verse 37 out, that make your Bible easier to understand? Matt says no. He said, the preacher said no. It doesn't. It does not. It's a lie that new books help your understanding easier to read. They're changed to change doctrine.
Yes.
To the Alexandrian doctrine, to Egyptian doctrine.
This is true.
It also, Origen also left out 1 John 5:7.
Yes.
He left out many others. I don't have time for all. 1 John 5:7, I'm hoping to get this in, actually. 1 John 5:7 says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Now, if I leave that out, you understand your Bible better, right? Helps you understand your Bible. That's what they tell me. They say they're easier to read. It helps your understanding. Why not, Caleb? That's what they tell me. It's a lie. It's to change doctrine. This is what Origen did. They ended up with a corrupt set of manuscripts. It doesn't bother the world to change the Scriptures. It doesn't bother them to say, well, look, God put this word here, but what He should have put is this word right here is really a lot better. It doesn't bother the world to do that. See, the world's bent on change anyway. The family of manuscripts from this area cannot be trusted. This family has about 300 copies. And it won't be a whole New Testament. It might be 1 John, it might be Matthew. Oh, these 300 copies might be Acts. It's usually one book, might be part of a book. They rely heavy on two manuscripts. One of them was found in Rome in the Vatican. Pointers. And the other one, the reason I made a big deal on Sinai that they really like, they call it the Sinaiticus. That was the Vaticanus. They found it on Mount Sinai, at the foot of the mountain. And it was in a Greek Orthodox monastery named St. Catherine's, which, by the way, her whole name is Catherine of Alexandria. And this is still in Egypt. Now, they're all on a straight line there, and I had a lot of conclusions I drew from this straight line, but I'm not going to share them with you. They're all speculation. Now, these manuscripts have not been changed a few times. Sometimes the scribes are so proud, they'll put over there like, I might know that that word was better, and I might put my initials over there beside it when I change it. Sometimes they're ashamed of it, and they just change it to fit their doctrine, to fit, how about this, Greek Orthodox doctrine, or Roman Catholic doctrine, whichever way they like it. That's these manuscripts. They've been changed. Some by accident, some on purpose. The one on Mount Sinai was found in a trash can because it had so many mistakes in it. And then in 1850, when someone discovered it, they made more changes. It worked out real convenient for them. Now, these don't agree with each other. They don't agree with themselves sometimes. They've got contradictions inside the same manuscript. Now, the world likes change. They like a fluid version. Like, they like to talk about the originals because they can change it to fit their new philosophy or whatever.
True.
They like to talk about the original. We believe the Bible to be the Word of God the way it was in the originals. But the whole thing is, no one has the originals, and I can make it say what I want it to that way. See, the communists, they also like change, and the socialists, they like change, and the world likes change, and Egypt likes change. Evolution, you got to have a lot of change for evolution. And they do not like an absolute authority Bible
that
you can hold in your hand. They won't even say their versions are the Word of God because they're already ready to change to the next newest version that comes out, which happens about every 6 months. Let's look at that in Proverbs 24:21. Proverbs 24:21. Says, my son, fear thou the Lord and the King, and meddle not with them that are given to change.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We learned on Thursday night in 721 B.C. the southern kingdom pointers of Israel was taken captive by Babylon over on the right, and the northern kingdom was taken captive by the Assyrians. They were carried off. Some of the Jews were carried off into Assyria. And Antioch is approximately 250 miles straight north of Jerusalem. And Antioch, although on the trade route, was not like Corinth that we studied about here a while back. It does not have temples to Diana or Aphrodite. They only had cultural problems here in Antioch. I didn't know that till recently. Now let's talk about Antioch. Antioch is the name for the good manuscripts. They have 5,500 members in their family.
Right.
In the good Bible, the good Greek. Okay? One name of it's the Antiochian. That's why we're going to talk about Antioch today. It's also called the received text because the church received it. Let me go ahead and say right now, in case I die before this is over, the church never received those manuscripts down in Egypt.
That's right.
Not one of them. Not one of them. No. It's also called the Byzantinium because of a town right here in northern Poseidon, right there, that the pointers are pointing at. 5,500. The first time we find the Antioch is Acts chapter 3 again. I'm sorry, 6. It's verse 3. Acts chapter 6, verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. They're looking for deacons. We want to find seven deacons, men of honest report, and we will give ourselves continually to prayer and ministry of the word, and saying, please the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith, and the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. They wanted an honest man to be a deacon, and they did not go to Egypt. They went to Antioch.
Yeah, think about that.
They went to Antioch. And this is the only one of the seven that tells where he came from. They wanted us, God wanted us to know he came from Antioch.
Amen.
Then chapter 11, Acts 11, 19. Here's our first picture of Antioch, maybe. Acts 11, 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians. That's Gentiles, by the way. If you remember, about 6 months or a year ago, the preacher was going on a night service, Wednesday or Sunday night, and we talked about the tongues and the power of the Holy Spirit and the gospel that went to the Jew first in Acts chapter 2, and then over in Acts chapter 8, we talked about a transition book. Acts is a transition book. Acts chapter 8, they went to the half-breeds, the Samaritans, and then in chapter 10, they went 100% to the Gentiles with Cornelius. That's how things were being transposed. That's how they moved down. And here's the Gentiles again, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. This is Antioch. This is what they're like in Antioch. This is the opposite of Egypt.
Right. That is right.
It's the opposite. Verse 22 now, 24, still in Acts 11, 22. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. And he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. This is Antioch. They got a revival. They started a revival up here above, and now it's continuing at the church at Antioch. Then in 25 and 26, Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and watched FBI. They taught much people, and the disciples were Christians first in Antioch. Right. It wasn't in Egypt, and it wasn't in Jerusalem.
Right.
God is moving just like He did in... Well, we're in Acts. He's moving the Old Testament spiritual capital of Jerusalem over to the New Testament spiritual capital in the Gentile world.
Amen.
And it's going to start at Antioch.
Right.
It's going to start at Antioch. Hey, guess what? Those manuscripts are called Antiochian. Manuscripts.
Right.
He's moving to Antioch. Antioch is to the Bible believer what Plymouth Rock is to the American.
Right.
Yes. Acts 11:27 here. And in these days came the prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. In Acts 1:8, they're told to leave, but there were some left. And now they're leaving. They're going to Antioch. That's where
right.
they're going. They moved to Antioch. Now,
very good.
Now, God's taking His hand off of Jerusalem. Now, I love the Jews. This is not an anti-Semitic lesson like
right.
going around the world right now. I'm for the Jew. I love the Jew. I'm in great debt to the Jew for giving me a Bible and a Savior.
Amen.
I owe him a lot.
Yeah.
I owe him a lot. The Lord is going to deal with the Jews through the tribulation period. And after that, here's where they're going to end up. Revelation 11:8. Tribulations for all unbelievers, but in particular the Jew. Revelation 11:8. This is right in the middle of the tribulation period. And here's what God says about it. I'll let Him say it. Let's see, Revelation 11:8. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. God's going to move His hand off of Jerusalem and put it up at Antioch. He's in the process of it here where we're reading about these Antiochian scriptures. Let's look at it now in Acts 13:1. Now they were in the church that was in Antioch. Certain prophets and teachers of Barnabas and Simeon, called Niger and Lucas, Cyrene and Manian, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul, and they ministered to the Lord, fasted, and the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. The first missionary journey originates from Antioch. Not from Jerusalem. Then in 14 and 15, here's how far it goes. Acts 13:14-15. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch of Pisidia. Now, I don't want to confuse you, but just like there's Athens, West Virginia, and Athens, Ohio, there's more than one Antioch. Now, this Antioch, show them where this Antioch is. It's in Pisidia. It's right around where those seven churches are. Just barely above those seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3. And that whole area right there where the churches are is called Pisidia. They took the first missionary journey, went to Antioch of Pisidia. We see it again in verse 19. This is Acts 14:19. They're still in Pisidia if you read everything in between. 14:19, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch to Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day departed with Barnabas and Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, to Iconium, and Antioch of Pisidia. Now, in 24 and 25 then, you see it again, and after they're still in Pisidia. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. And then in verse 26, we see them returning to the other Antioch. They sail over to Antioch of Assyria in 26 and 28.
Very good.
and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them. They're reporting back in. The missionaries are reporting in to Antioch of Assyria and how they had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, and there they abode long time with the disciples. Acts 15, then in verse 3, so all these Gentiles are getting saved, right? They reported in verse 3, Acts 15:3, and being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phinehas and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and that caused great joy unto the brethren. But, verse 5, and there arose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So they have a meeting in Jerusalem where Pastor James is. And in verse 22, Acts 15, 22, and then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch. They had a meeting, decided what to do about these Gentiles getting saved, and they send the results to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner, the apostles and the elders and the brethren, send greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. Verse 30, so when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle. And then verse 35, Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. In chapter 15, then in verse 40 and 41, guess what? The second missionary journey is departed, and they don't leave from Jerusalem, they leave from Antioch. The church sends them out from Antioch. In 40, Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God, and he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. In chapter 18, verse 22, guess what? The third missionary journey originates from Antioch of Syria. Gentile church sent him out. And when he had landed in Caesarea and going up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch, and after he'd spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. Antioch, during the second century, 100 to 200 AD, had a disciple named Lucian. He also founded a school of the capital S scriptures, not the little scriptures, based on the literal interpretation of the Bible, not pagan philosophy. The school magnified the authority and divinity of the capital S scriptures. And God moved his New Testament Gentile capital to Antioch and started spreading his word from there. So it does not surprise me that that's where he started preserving his word, right? And all these copies are found. Not Egypt.
That is right.
It wasn't found in Egypt. They were found in, around Antioch. Well, that's not all. That wasn't the only place. They were found some in Asia. They were found some in Spain, some in France, some in Italy, some in the north right here. There was a line went across. 5,500 that largely agreed with each other. The Antiochian family of manuscripts. The church received. It's the ones the church used.
Yeah.
So really, there's only one Bible. I started off the title, there's only two Bibles. Really, there's only one.
Amen.
When I go shopping, I'm going to go down to the Antioch Christian bookstore.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down. In Jesus' name, amen.